What does CHENG stand for? A CHENG is a combination of chief and engineer. So the chief engineer role gets shortened to CHENG. The CHENG roles are generally technical strong background individuals who have moved into a leadership position. And so they are guiding our technical workforce in how we execute our technical work at Crane. All right, Jose, let's back up a little bit. I'm talking about like the CHENG role, and I'm curious. I think I've asked this to a couple of the folks who've been here as my guests. So from your perspective, what are the keys to success as a CHENG?
So when I think of being a CHENG and I think of some of the skills that have helped me the most, it's usually the soft skills. Mm-hmm. It's understanding and learning those soft skills. And I can tell you right now, as a young engineer, I didn't have them.
We don't teach you those in engineering school, not at all.
Yeah. So I live with a wife who's a social worker. So guess what?
So she trained you.
Yes, she trained me. So, but there's those soft skills, and what they allow you to do is teach without condescending. It allows you to mentor and be in such a way that the person is receptive to take it. Because once again, you've got a lot of experience if you're a CHENG. You've got a lot of knowledge that you want to share. But if you can't share that in the way that the people are willing to receive it, then you're really not doing any good. So I really think it's those soft skills and applying those soft skills to the group. One of the other things that I found very beneficial to me, and goes back to a conversation we were having earlier, understanding the big picture, seeing where things come in. So one of the first tasks that I did as the chief engineer was develop a technology roadmap for our division. And that technology roadmap looked at not only items that could or would be a threat, but items that we could take advantage of. And some of those were duplicates. Some of them, that technology could be used either way. But put that in perspective and say, where is that going to get to? So when you listen to some of the people talk, and the person that has actually succeeded me, temporarily at least, Mark Chancy, his background in some of those things in photonics, I see that as a technology that when they mature that, and they're getting closer, when they mature that, that's a game changer for us. Because if you think frequencies, ultra wide band, and photonics brings a lot of that. So I don't think I'm going to see that. But I really think that's one of the, you know, but keeping your eye on that big picture.
Yeah.
Is really, and it's not just from a technology standpoint. It's from the strategic guidelines. Where are people going?
Mission,
how are things going?
Yeah. How we think warfare's changing. Absolutely.
So in your old position as, you know, when you look at cyber, I mean, a lot of people still have that mentality of cyber protection, but that's not it. I read an article last night that said that they're proposing it, creating it as another warfare element.
Well, they have a new, in the active duty side, there's some new designations, right? So the active duty folks get binned into certain categories and disciplines. And so they have I just saw an article on that the other day. They've got like a cyber warrior, I think is what it is. So yeah, they're getting the picture, right?
Yeah, I think
it's not
are.
About just, you know, protect your passwords, protect your networks. It's
exactly.
So much more than that.
Absolutely.
So yeah, these are nice changes that for people like us to see, you know, yeah. I'm with you, right? Like I know that at some point we all retire, right? And so you probably won't see it through to the very end, but it's nice to see the attention being brought to it and people kind of getting that.
And so that, digital engineering, all of those things, big picture-wise, how do I take those? And once again, I look at these things as tools. I oversimplify sometimes.
Right.
But I look at these things as tools and say, how do I take advantage of that tool to make my people, my products better? And as a chief engineer, I think that was one of the roles that I was supposed to be doing. So, and that leads into my next thing that I really think is important. Keep it simple.
Okay.
You know, I think we overcomplicate things in a lot of manners. And as you start overcomplicating, you lose people. And if you lose people, then you're not getting that diversity of thought that you need. So I like keeping things simple. It also helps me understand better.
Yeah, but the simple solution is often the best solution, right?
And that conversation, I mean, to me, and this probably comes in and brings in the last thing that I think is really critical, and that's communication. You cannot over communicate. I learned as a branch manager that I thought I was doing a great job of communicating. Mm-hmm. And I had told the branch, I had told everybody that was there. And it wasn't a week later that I had one of the people come in and start discussing the fact of what I had talked about. And I said, you were there. when I said that. He goes, you didn't say I pulled out my meeting minutes and I showed him. This is where I talked about it. Communication is a two-way street. You have to have somebody listening. And you have to be able, when you're over-communicating, what you're trying to do is stimulate that person to hear you and to comprehend what you're doing. So over-communicating, I think, is a real good thing, especially when you're dealing with new hired personnel. You know, they're coming into something brand new. They're scared. They don't know what And I will tell you, some of these new hires that we've had come in, wow.
Yeah, I know, right?
You know.
Yeah.
They're just amazing.
Yeah, it makes you excited.
Yes,
right?
It does.
That's you know, they got 20, 30 years here, and oh my gosh, what they can accomplish when you see what they've done in the first year or two that they're here.
Absolutely.
Know,
for sure. Absolutely.
Those are great. I love the focus on the soft skills. That's come up a couple times before, and I agree with all these ones that you've picked here at the perspective and the big picture thing. And well, I guess soft skills in general. I think some of those I feel like from our generation where it was kind of like engineering school didn't really teach you those, but I think that's shifting a little bit. So like the team kind of team dynamic, team building, working together, soft skill kind of stuff. I see more team projects going on in engineering schools now, especially at graduate levels, and that kind of helps. So hopefully folks are coming in with a little better soft skills than maybe, previous generations. So that's good, because I think that even in academia, they're realizing the importance of that in the workforce. So that's probably a good thing, right? But there's always room to grow and build those for sure. I completely agree with the communication piece, right? Everybody hears things differently, right? Different types of communication, the language that you use. And so, and especially to your point with the new hires who are probably just getting fire hosed every day with so much information, some of it sticks, some of it doesn't. Yep. And it might not stick the first time or the second time. And then suddenly at the third time, they're ready for it. And then it sticks with them. So yeah, it can be frustrating because you feel like I said that, but it didn't click for whatever reason, or it didn't get, to the right person. So yeah, those are always true and good ones. And I totally agree. Those are definitely good keys to success.
To pick on my wife a little bit, I throw physics back at her when it comes to that conversation about communication, because I always say it's all physics. It's your optics. It's what you're seeing at the time and how you perceive it as to what you're hearing and what you're understanding. Because obviously, as a social worker, she's not anywhere near physics. What? Huh?
What is that?
Yeah. But it is so true. I mean, if you go back to some of our old physics where we were looking about how fast is something falling? Well, it depends on your perspective. Mm-hmm. Where are you seeing it at? How are you looking at it? How are you understanding it? And that's what we need to understand on communication, that everybody's optics are different and unique to their own background. So
another Cheng perspective question. What do you think is the most important function of a Cheng?
Mentoring. And I will tell you, and I think I mentioned this as well, it's not just mentoring the new hires coming in. You've got senior engineers that are being moved up into a new position that they've never held that position before. It's letting them understand that it's okay to question certain things, but it's not okay to just sit there and not act. You know, you've got to take an action.
Yeah, and leadership role, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And the fact is, everybody can and should be a leader. Doesn't mean leadership, but it's a leader. And leader means that you understand what you're doing. You take a proactive stance to getting it done and getting it done correctly. That's a leader. And I have taught that since day one of being in a management or a Cheng position, is be a leader. Does that mean you're the leader of vision? No, that means if you see something that needs to be done, you know it needs to be done, you do it and you take care of it. You know, you don't sit back and wait to be told. So, and we have had that issue, over the years. So
it's a definite mindset for sure.
Yeah.
So, and I know the Crane focuses that we have our Leading From Within program. There's a lot of efforts to grow those skills and to sort of set that culture, right? So and I'll put in a little plug for our career services department, who runs a lot of efforts to try to help get, especially with the all of the new hires that we've hired in, right? To try to help them understand these kinds of things we've been talking about today, right? Like how to build these soft skills and how to learn what does it mean to be a leader, even if you don't have a block on an org chart. That's not what it means to be a leader, right? You don't have to have a block or a title to be a leader. It's a behavioral thing, right? And that leaning in, leaning forward kind of mindset and culture that we want to create here at Crane. So good stuff.
And that really starts with new hires.
Absolutely.
Because when they come in, if they're sitting back waiting for somebody to tell them what to do, that's not what we need them to
right.
do.
And that's it. That's a shift, really, because when you think about it, they've just come out of all these years of schooling, that's exactly what happens, right? They get told exactly what to do. So there really is a definite, we need to help guide them into this shifted mindset of, you have the ability to have any kind of initiative you want. We have fantastic research programs. I love it when I see new hires putting in things for proposals with our NICE program, ILIRs and IREs and everything. That's fantastic, right? They're starting off on this foot of, I want to explore something. Back to all your comments, like, I now have this knowledge about these technologies, and I now see how I can apply that to a warfighter mission, and I'm going to come up with a new idea that I want to pursue, and we try to really support that as much as we can. So great stuff. Very good. All right. Hey, so this has been great. And I always like to wrap up with a little bit of who is the person when they're not at work, right? So I'm going to ask a couple, you know, to have you share a little bit about what does Tom do when he's not here at work. But I'm also going to drop a little teaser because this is a podcast. People can't see you. And I want to share with people that I am sitting next to a very distinguished looking gentleman with a full white beard. In this particular time of year, he has some other responsibilities that he takes part in and a big grin on his face and a lovely chuckle. So that's probably going to hint at what you might talk about as some of the other things that you do, particularly around the December timeframe.
So sure. So I will tell you, over the years, what I do on the outside has changed just a little bit, and a little bit has to do with the way I look. So, but a few years back, I had a very good friend that was passing away, and he was also a first-time grandpa. And one of his last requests of me was to be Santa for his granddaughter. My wife took that meant I needed to have a new suit. I needed to have everything that goes with it. So I can tell you right now, my Decembers, and even up into January 1st, are beginning to get filled with being Santa. And I'll tell you, it is extremely enjoyable, fun. You can't, I've got two or three different stories. I won't bore you with all of them, but one of them in particular, last year, the lady that made the suit for me, she asked us to go over to her son's house and do their Christmas party. So we did. And they had I think she was about 5 years old, couldn't know for sure, but anyway, she came up to me and she goes, "Can I pull your beard?"
And she's testing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You're real or not?
I said, "So why would you want to do that? That would hurt." And she's like, "Well, I was in the mall the other day and pulled his beard, and he's a fake Santa." I said, "Well, okay, but be gentle." So I sat down on the couch and she walked up to me, and I was expecting her just to grab a whole bunch of hair and pull.
Sure.
No, she felt, you know, maybe a little bit in her fingers, and she kept pulling and pulling and pulling, and her eyes kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And finally she let go. She didn't say a word. She walked around behind the table where her cousins were, and she goes, "That was real. He's the real Santa."
Aww.
And you can't put a price on that stuff.
It's melting my heart
just
hearing you tell the story. That's so sweet.
So that's what I'm doing now. So,
that's awesome.
I've got two children. We raised them. I've got a grandson down in Texas that we're going to take off around the breaks and go down and visit them. Okay. So last year, Santa went away when I was down there. My daughter wanted to try out a new set of trimmers. And all he would go is, "Papa, what happened to your beard? It blew away."
It blew away. That's cute.
So this year I can't do that because I got another role when I come back. So, but anyway, so that's right now. That's kind of what we're looking to.
Sounds like you could probably make a full time gig out of that after you retire.
Yeah,
right?
I think well,
high demand, right?
And that's kind of where I'm looking for. You know, right
awesome.
Now. So this next December, a year from now, my plan is we're going to retire. Mm-hmm. We're going to get a camper and we're going to go out and travel.
Nice.
And it's not going to be these 1 week here, 2 week there thing. This is going to be 3-4 weeks, 5-6 weeks, however long we want to stay. Mm-hmm. Get to learn the area, get mm-hmm. to learn the people, and just enjoy the time away and do that.
Yeah.
Now, that's great for the summer months, but once again, when you come back, guess what? The camper gets parked and you got to stay inside. Mm-hmm. So that's when Santa comes out.
Okay,
yes.
I was going to say, if you got to balance that with the Santa thing, but really,
yes.
You know, you just do the winter months down south, you could be fine.
But you could. But I will tell you, the coat that this was made for me,
uh-huh.
I could stand outside in weather like this morning and sweat.
Yeah.
It's a heavy,
it's heavy.
Coat. Yes.
Okay.
So going inside and playing Santa doesn't happen very long. Santa's got to go back to the North Pole, otherwise he smells.
Story. Love it. All right.
So.
That's awesome. What else though? So that's fabulous. And I led you into that because I know you did it and I think it's a wonderful thing and I'm glad that's a great experience for you. But anything else you want to share about Tom outside the fence line?
So I just enjoy spending time with family and friends. You know, I think I'm like the rest of us. You know, I enjoy that time together, and the more time I get to spend with them, the more I like it. I'm looking forward to the time where I have the time to do it. I will tell you, this next year with Thor's Hammer is going to be extremely busy. I'm not going to have the time. I've already warned my wife that there will be no leave taken during the year, so she's already planning that, and I'm getting myself mentally psyched up for that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as
a
government,
when it's over, then it's all good. Right?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, but you know, as a government employee, we like that leave, mm-hmm. and that's one of the best benefits we have is mm-hmm. the leave they give us mm-hmm. to take off. So, but do that, hang out with family, friends. I mean, in my opinion, I have a boring life.
Sometimes that's good, though.
But I enjoy it, you know. Yeah. So I guess that's the biggest part of it. I mean, I'm going to enjoy myself. I'm going to enjoy my family. I'm going to enjoy my life. I'm going to enjoy the entire time we have together. So I think because that's, to me, that's what it's all about.
For sure. You know, well, you can say you've had a boring life, but I know just from hearing about your career and what you've done here at Crane that I would not say that that's boring. Certainly appreciate the many, many years that you have given to the Navy and helping our warfighters, and we'll be missed for sure, but I'm looking forward to the next year of helping you, watching as Thor's hammer comes to fruition. So I appreciate you jumping in full bore on that, and I'm sure that the team is happy to have you helping coordinate that and put that together, so it'll be a great event.
We'll find out when it's over.
Fair enough. You have to stick around long enough after to like do all the articles about it and talk about all the good stuff and the lessons learned and share all that knowledge with our next generation so that, because you know they'll keep going and we'll keep having this and I'm sure you'll learn a lot and I know that you will do the good job of mentoring and sharing that with our
younger engineers. So one of the exciting things that we're doing again that's not been done before is we're putting together a document to say, what do you need to do if you're hosting a Thor's hammer?
Yes.
So a lot of these times, a lot of these countries go into blind, not, and mm-hmm. we're the same way. We don't know what to expect. We don't know.
Figuring it out as we go.
Yeah, exactly. So and that's what we're doing. So we're going to create a document, probably going to be very high level, but it's something you need to look at these things. You need to understand these things. You need to plan for this. So
love it.
That after Thor's hammer test event's over, mm-hmm. it's not done. So.
We're going to have the How to Run a Thor's Hammer book, guidebook, right? I love it. That's a very Chang kind of response, right? Figure it all out and then write it down so that you know how to do it better next time. So awesome. Okay, good. Well, so our last responsibility here is I get to ask you if you have a suggestion for who will be the next guest for Chang Chat.
I do. And I will tell you, this was a tough question to answer because when you think of all the young people that have come up and moved into some of these positions, fantastic individuals, and I'm excited to see where they're going to go in their career because they still got several years to go. Jaime Gavon, you know, is a new division Chang.
Mm-hmm. He acted as the department for a while, Chang. Right? I got to work more with him during that time.
Nick Amadio, he's an extremely sharp guy.
Very passionate.
Yes, he is. Very passionate. So sometimes I think that takes him out of the rigor stage a little bit too far. But you know what? He's passionate.
You gotta find that balance.
Absolutely.
Rather have the passion and reel it back in.
Absolutely.
And have someone who's savvy but kind of lackadaisical, right?
I guess when it boils down to it, the person I would really love to hear on this episode would be Brian Sabo.
Love it. Yeah. Brian is one of our department Changs. I get to work with them a lot, and I'm very excited because I've wanted to interview a department Chang. So Brian's on the spot. Love it.
Sorry, Brian.
No, don't apologize. Yay. That's going to be a great conversation. Brian is our department Chang in our hypersonics and strategic missions department, so a very different kind of thing. He's had an interesting career and background. He's been a real pleasure to work with for the last few years. I've been
fortunate to run into Brian a couple times off base.
Yeah.
And so get to see him and talk to him a little bit outside of our normal positions. And so I really think, given what I know his people and he does in that department, I would love to hear his perspective on how he handles those things.
Love it. Love it. Look forward to that. That'll be great. Great nominee. Thanks. Perfect. Okay. So that's a wrap for our episode of Chang Chat today. Thank you again, Tom, for being here. It was great to chat with you again. And we will see you all next time with Mr. Brian Sabo.